The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on July 14, 1990 in Kathmandu, Nepal. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 8th Chapter, 5th Verse.
Bhagavatam, entering into the heart of a self-realized devotee, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship and thus cleanses the dust of material association, such as lust, anger, hankerings, etc., and acts like the autumnal rains upon the pools of muddy water. Translation: the sound incarnation of Lord Krishna.
Sound incarnation of Lord Krishna.
The Supreme Soul.
The Supreme Soul.
In other words, Srimad Bhagavatam.
In other words, Srimad Bhagavatam.
Entering into the heart.
Entering into the heart.
Of a self-realized devotee.
Of a self-realized devotee.
Sits on the lotus flower.
Sits on the lotus flower.
Of his loving relationship, and thus cleanses the dust of material association, such as lust, anger, hankering, etc., and acts like the autumnal rains upon the pools of muddy water. Report by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada teaches. It is said that a single pure devotee of the Lord can deliver all the fallen souls of the world. And thus one who is actually in the confidence of a pure devotee like Narada or Sukadeva Goswami, and thus empowered by one's spiritual master, as Narada was by Brahmaji, can not only deliver himself from the clutches of maya or illusion, but can deliver the whole world by his pure and empowered devotional service. The comparison to the autumnal rain which falls on the muddy reservoirs of water is very appropriate. During the rainy season, all the waters of the rivers become muddy. But in the month of July, August, the autumn season, when there is a slight rainfall, the muddy waters of the rivers all over the world become at once clear. By addition of some chemical, a small reservoir of water, like that of the Metropolitan Water Works tank, etc., can be cleared. But by such a tiny effort, it is not possible to clear up all the reservoirs of water like the rivers, etc. Similarly, a powerful, pure devotee of the Lord can deliver not only his personal self, but also many others in his association. In other words, the cleansing of the polluted heart by other methods, like culture of empiric knowledge or mystic gymnastics, can simply cleanse one's own heart. But devotional service to the Lord is so powerful that it can cleanse the hearts of the people in general by the devotional service of the pure, empowered devotee. A true representative of the Lord like Narada, Sukadeva Goswami, Lord Chaitanya, the six Goswamis, and later Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, etc., can deliver all people by their empowered devotional service. by sincere efforts to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, one realizes his constitutional relationship with the Lord. In the transcendental humor of servitude, friendship, paternal affection, or conjugal love. And by such self-realization, one becomes situated at once in the transcendental loving, in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. All such pure devotees like Narada were not only self-realized souls, but they were engaged in preaching work automatically by a spiritual impetus. And thus they delivered many poor souls entangled in the material modes. They became so powerful because they sincerely followed the Bhagavatam principles by regularly hearing and chanting and worshipping. By such actions they accumulated material lust, etc., become cleansed by the personal endeavor of the Lord within the heart. The Lord is always within the heart of a living being, but he becomes manifested by one's devotional service. Purification of the heart by culture of knowledge or mystic yoga may be all right for the time being for an individual person, but it is like cleansing the stagnant water in small quantity by chemical processes. Such clarification of water may stand for the time being and the sediment settle down, but by a slight agitation everything becomes muddy. The idea is that devotional service to the Lord is the only method of cleansing the heart for good, whereas other methods may be superficially good for the time being, there is a risk of becoming muddy again due to agitation of the mind. Devotional service to the Lord with special attention for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and always is the best recommended method for liberation from the clutches of illusion. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami purport and translation. Purport and translation of Canto 2, Chapter 8, Text Number 5, in the matter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, questions by King Parikshit. Glass of my water from the jug. So this is a very beautiful verse using many allegories. Pavishvakarna Randrena Swanam Bhava Saroruham. When the sound vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam enters within the holes of the ears, then in relationship with one's loving devotional service to the Lord takes his seat on the lotus flower situated in the heart. By hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, in other words, we are able to bring the Lord into our heart. How much one can realize Krishna's presence in the heart from the reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam is dependent upon how one has developed their loving relationship with the Lord. Someone who has developed their loving relationship with the Lord, when they hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, immediately their mind becomes fixed on Krishna. Lord Krishna thus becomes situated in the heart. What great mystic yogis do by performing for many, many, many years, even lifetimes, the difficult process of Ashtanga Yoga, they're gradually able to come up to a level of samadhi and meditation on the Lord in the heart. However, if one is able to simply give their undivided attention to the reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam, being situated in pure devotional service, then the Lord immediately becomes fixed up in the heart through that transcendental vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is something which is unforgettable, something which is actually the goal of life, to have the Lord situated in our heart. So this glorifies the process of devotional service and glorifies the process of reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. When we develop our loving relationship with Krishna through practical devotional service, when we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Krishna will come and be situated in the heart. Someone may be doing various types of devotional service, whether buying stones or cooking or cleaning or whatever it is, preaching, selling books. To varying degrees, one will be able to develop depending on their individual desire and the blessings of the Lord and his devotees, one will be able to develop a pure devotional attitude. When that attitude is developed, then when one hears the Srimad Bhagavatam, then the Lord becomes fixed in the heart. When the Lord comes in the heart, the last part of the verse explains, dhunoti, he cleanses all the material qualities, lust, anger, avarice, hankering. There's the six ripus, kam, krodh, lobh, madma, surja, moha. In addition, there are other qualities, hankering, lethargy, sleep. So all these type of materialistic qualities are eliminated by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, by bringing the Lord into the ones, have him take his place on the lotus of the heart. We bring the Lord by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So some special chemical is there in the autumnal rain, which when it falls on the muddy rains, muddy rivers from the rainy season, it causes all the rivers to clear up. Just like if you put some alum, little alum is a pitkiri. Pitkiri. Little bit of pitkiri or alum. If you put in some muddy water, immediately all the things settle and it becomes clear water. Just like that, someone may say, there's so much mud in the water. How will it clear it? Cannot be clear, the water is muddy. Someone may say like that, that this devotee, that devotee, their consciousness is muddy. It's not clear. It's having so many defects. But if even a little bit they can give their attention to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and engaging in devotional service, then automatically, just like that mud is cleared just by touching the pitki, everything will be cleansed. All that mud will settle. Because Prabhupada here is also stating that there may be some clearing by other processes of yoga as well, such as the mystic yoga process. But that clearing is not so complete, nor so effective, nor so lasting as the process of devotional service, which can cleanse unlimited people. How many glasses of water you can cleanse with this alum? But if Krishna, by his autumnal rain, is able to clear all the water, then this almost unlimited water that could be cleared. In the same way, so many conditioned souls get their hearts cleansed by devotional service. In just a matter of years, even after spending unlimited births here in the material world, one can get cleansed. Of course, if one is very sincere, then you can be cleansed even in a second. If one has developed that loving devotional attitude, even hearing about Krishna immediately, all these things are cleansed. We should see, though, how these material contaminations are affecting our heart, our consciousness. When we say the heart, it's understood that the soul is in the heart and the consciousness is coming from the soul. Therefore, it cleanses the consciousness. Someone is having lust. This lust is causing them to desire Mataji worshiping Siddha. So many things of material sense gratification. So one on how to get rid of this. Someone may say, I can get rid of it if I gratify myself. This is the normal material thing. I want something, I have to satisfy that desire. So by satisfying the desire, then I'll become satisfied. But the Vedas explain, this is like putting oil on the fire. Fire is hungry or it's burning, so we put some oil on the fire. Like when there's a yajna, we put ghee on the fire. So that for a second the fire goes down. But then that ghee ignites and it comes up more. So this is what's happening in modern society. Everyone is putting more and more ghee on the fire. They are desiring more and more sense gratification. And therefore they have to have big casino. They have to have tavern. They have to have discotheque. They have to have so many facility for sense gratification. But what they're doing is they're putting fire on oil on the fire. This creates a higher temperature. The fire is burning up more and more. So that's why then people in the West, they complain that they're getting no peace. I met some Americans in other countries. They say they don't want to go back to America. They like it in England, they like it in India, they like it in some other place. Because America, the fire has become so hot that they say it's too passionate. It's too difficult. So this is one of the dusts. So actually, how Srila Prabhupada, simply by taking the Srimad Bhagavatam to the Western world, where people are burning in the fire, he could bring down this lust. He could bring it down. Immediately that cleanses. Of course, if we go on hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, then that mud will stay on the bottom of the river. But if again we stop hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and we start to stir up the water, example, like in a pool of water, it becomes muddy due to the stirring of the water. But if some autumn rain comes, or if someone puts a chemical in that, it settles all the mud, it becomes clear again. But then if you go and stir it up, again it will become muddy. So some devotee, due to bad association, he again, if he enters into that material association, and he again starts to act in material affairs of sense gratification, not properly using everything for Krishna's service, then again the consciousness becomes muddied and stirs up so many desires, so many material hankerings, lusting, anger, greed, etc., creating disturbance. So therefore, it's essential to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, on a daily basis. Bhagavata Nitya Sevaya. We need to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, hear the glories of Krishna daily, then this cleanses the heart from all these things. So, lust, anger. Anger is very strong. In fact, it says in the Bhagavad Gita that first we meditate on objects of the senses, then we develop attachment. Then from attachment comes lust, hankerings. From that lust, when it's unfulfilled, develops anger. From anger comes illusion. From illusion we fall down. That means the anger is so powerful that anger can cause us to be an illusion. More than all the other things, especially it said before, the illusion, the anger. Anger is the pride impetus. You know that when you're talking to an angry person, it's very hard to make reason with that person. Even if someone is very lusty, sometimes you can convince him, but you have to think of your self-interest. Then he can control his lust, even for at least out of some self-interest or passion he can. But when someone is very angry, it's very hard to control that situation. Even that's when the government, when all the people are angry and naive, what they can do? It's out of control. It's become riot. So anger means like that. It's like you can do anything. You're angry. You can go into illusion. So this anger is a very big enemy. But anger, of course, is coming from lust. It's the uncontrolled lust becomes anger. It's a kind of a transformation. Just like on the one side you have from milk, you can have cream, and from cream you can have ghee. It's like a good transformation. And here the negative transformation is there, from attachment, lust, to anger. From anger, illusion. So this anger is something very difficult. When someone develops an angry attitude, then sometimes people are just angry for the moment. One time they feel angry, then it goes. But then there are some people who have like chronic anger. They remain angry, always, about something. And this anger is always burning in them. Why this happens to me? Why that happens? Why it's like this? Why not like that? Why? So everything is impetus for anger. their lust, their greed, their envy, all the things become fuel for anger. And anger keeps them always burning. So this way there's no peace. So how to have peace? So here the solution is given. We need to actually simply hear the Srimad Bhagavatam very carefully. Now, attending Bhagavatam class and hearing the Bhagavatam the way it's mentioned here are not necessarily the same. Someone may be in the Bhagavatam class but thinking, I have to cut the sabjis, I have to go out today, what appointments I have, what things I have to do. Their mind may be off. But when it's describing here that pravishta karna randhaina, that the Lord is entering into the holes of the ear, swanam bhava saroruham, and he is taking his seat on the lotus of the heart according to one's loving relationship. This is not ordinary, simply sitting in a class. This means one is really drinking the Lord through the ear. He's entering into the ear. It's like one is in the class, not simply physically, but mentally, spiritually, all fully in the class. He's actually there, listening carefully to the Bhagavatam, and with a devotional attitude, with a service attitude. Bhagavata nitya sevaya, to serve the Lord. Thus, in a service attitude, hearing the Bhagavatam, the Lord, in his incarnation as sound, he becomes established in the heart. A very significant, very beautiful verse. If we can appreciate this verse, then we can take shelter of the Bhagavatam to solve all of our anxieties and all of our problems. What problem is there that Krishna cannot solve? Krishna is the all-powerful. And Krishna and Srimad Bhagavatam are not different. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam, the Mahapuranam, is the sound incarnation of God. It's the sound incarnation. This is a wonderful, thing that being in the Kali Yuga, we are not able to see Krishna like those people in Dwarka Yuga. Dwapara Yuga, they could see Krishna, Kurukshetra, Mathura, Dwarka, all over India he was traveling. Even we heard the Pandavas came here to Kathmandu and worshipped Pashupatinath. I don't know how far it's historically recorded, but like that legend is said that they came here at some time. That means also seeing the devotee like the Pandavas is not different from seeing Krishna. They are such pure devotees that they are always connected with Krishna. So even hearing about the Pandavas, it's like hearing about Krishna. Because whatever the Pandavas do, is Krishna conscious. It's connected with Krishna. It brings one, it has to ultimately lead you to Krishna. Because eventually their thought train always ends up with Krishna on the mind. Even when Arjuna was apparently in Maya, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he surrendered to Krishna and asked Krishna to give him the instruction to be his guru. So Krishna, he spoke Bhagavad Gita to dispel the illusion, the confusion of his devotee Arjuna. We are still reading the Bhagavad Gita after 5,000 years, giving us unlimited spiritual instruction. Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, these two literatures form the basis of the Krishna conscious philosophy. They are Krishna Shikha. We need to thoroughly absorb these teachings. If we can absorb these teachings, then all the dirt and dust in the heart gets cleansed. Just settled. What a beautiful example. Your muddy water, you just add this chemical like alum or the same type of alkaline chemical maybe there. So some chemical is there in autumn rain, it falls, merely the waters become clear. If we are Krishna conscious, everything becomes clear. Chitraketu, he was visiting Kailash. There he thought, he saw that Shiva was sitting with Parvati on his lap. So many great saints and sages were there. He thought that it's quite right that Parvati sit on the lap of Shiva, but in a Dharma Sabha, this may create some confusion on someone to see the sitting like that in an intimate pose in a public way. So he offered some kind of advice or offered some suggestion that in this public assembly, it's not good if Parvati sits on the lap. So Parvati became very angry. So who are you to advise Lord Shiva? You think Lord Shiva is an ordinary person, but he's affected by ordinary desires and ordinary association. So you become very insolent, very offensive. So I curse you to become a demon. Something like that. Maybe left out a few of her points, but she became angry and cursed him to become an asura. Here he was personal associate of Ananta Deva. He was traveling around in a special Bhiman, which could even travel up to Kailash. No small thing. He just came in the assembly, said a few words, but those words were not appreciated by Parvati Devi, and she cursed him to become an asura. Just like that, from the flying demon of Ananta Deva to become a demon, put to a hellish condition. And overnight, 1 second, what a test for Chitraketu. He was basking in the nectar, and 1 second he's cursed because a little mistake. So he also, anyway, he came and he said, he offered his obeisances to Parvati and Lord Shiva. And said, of course, I apologize that I didn't explain himself in a type of apology, you can say. But I accept whatever curse you gave me as your blessing. I just want to say that I have all respect for Lord Shiva. In no way did I mean it to lose that or to be offensive to Lord Shiva. I know he's in the transcendental position. I just, whether it was right or wrong, but my intention was not bad. In any case, when curse is given, when something is done, it cannot be undone. Someone, if they say something out of anger or love or any, if you, once your spoken word comes out, you cannot bring it back. It's out. You may later explain it. You may try to do anything, but it's already spoken. You cannot bring it back. And when someone gives a curse or a blessing of the stature of Parvati Devi, that has to take its effect. But he requests their blessing, and Chitraketu left. So that time, Lord Shiva explained to Parvati, just see, you gave such a curse to that devotee, just it wasn't, I mean, for a small thing, he just said a few words, you cursed him to become a demon. You know, just for a few words, he got such a heavy punishment. And had to take a birth for one whole lifetime, you have to be a demon. Meaning Rakshasa. Just for a few, 1 second of words, you said. You can just see what a heavy curse was given to Chitraketu. He was a very exalted person. Otherwise, how he could come to Kailash in the first place. This also shows one has to be very careful when dealing with devotees and with very exalted personalities like Shiva, Parvati. You have to be very careful because even little mistake may create a big reaction. When we're dealing with Krishna especially, small mistake can be very dangerous. Therefore, we are advised to avoid, very careful, the 10 offenses of the holy name. But Chitra Ketu, he had to become a demon. Of course, his only desire was to become Krishna conscious. So even as a demon, he remained a devotee of Vishnu. And that actually became his last life. So sometimes the devotee is put into difficulty, like Parikshit. He was cursed by the Brahmin boy, Sringi, to die. Just for a small prank he played. He put a snake on the side of the sage's shoulder, which was not proper. But because he felt offended, he thought the sage was just shamming, he was faking, he wasn't really in samadhi, he was, could not imagine how hungry he must have, thirsty he must have been to go there, he wasn't received properly, so he put the snake on, the dead snake was lying there, not alive, just dead snake, put it on his shoulder. When the son of that Brahmin heard, then he touched water and cursed the Parikshit. In 7 days he has to die by that deadly flying serpent. What's that called? The Tataksha? Taksha. Depending if you pronounce Bengali or Sanskrit. Taksha. So, say that you were to put a dead snake, this some, or some bug is lying there, you put it on someone's lap. If he goes to the police and makes a case that person, when I was sleeping, he put one bug or one dead frog or one dead snake on me. So what punishment will happen? So that you can have a criminal case. You can have a case. What punishment he'll get? Maybe a fine, $100 or 1,000 rupees, or maybe officially he had to do something. It's not a very serious matter actually. He may have to, I don't think you have to go to jail also for such a thing. You may have to pay a fine. Maybe maximum if you go to jail, you have to go for one day or something, a few hours. I doubt even the police will arrest you for such an act. So here, the son of the Brahmin is cursing Parikshit, you have to die. Death sentence. That also 7 days. So this is a fantastic, you see, some of the devotees, they got fantastic kind of things happen. So when this happened, then what did Parikshit think? He thought that this world is not the place to remain by. Actually, Krishna wants to bring me back to him.
Sometimes people think that this material world is a very nice place. Let me stay here forever. So sometimes Krishna gives some mercy just to cut all the attachment. He gives some special mercy. We can see that this material world is padam, padam, yad vipadam. Danger at every step. And what does this do? This is, if the devotee is intelligent, he realizes that there's no shelter but Krishna. This material world is no shelter. Who we think is our friend, he can in 1 second become our enemy. Who we think is our worshipable Lord, in the material world, even someone is adopted as Mother Parvati, she's our mother. Little mistake, if she curses you, become a demon. So mean then, if mother can do that, then what is the protection? Little mistake if we make, we could get cursed like that. It's a very dangerous position, you see. Even Krishna, Vishnu, he's so merciful, even when Bhrigu actually kicked Vishnu in the chest, Krishna didn't take any offense. Rather, he asked Bhrigu that, my chest is very hard, your feet are very soft, maybe I hurt your foot. Has any harm come to your foot? Because Krishna is in the complete mode of goodness. For his personal self, he doesn't take offense, isn't it? Rather, his devotees may take offense. But Krishna easily forgives. But Krishna is the proper person to take shelter of. And later, of course, Bhrigu, he realized the supreme position of Vishnu. Of course, Lakshmi also became very angry with him. They say the Brahmins are very poor. She cursed the Brahmins.
to remain poor always. Even the Brahmin gets $1 million or 1 crore of rupees, and then again the next day they'll spend it. They always remain poor. But this, for spiritually, this is very good. Remain poor. Remain without too many material attachments. Whatever we get, we spend it for Krishna. This means we are free to, for the Brahmins,
those who are acting as Brahmins, as a Vaishnava, someone is acting as a Brahmin, or someone is acting as a Vaishya. Those are Vaishyas, they have to deal with money, but they get purified when they use the money for yajna, when they use the money in Krishna's service. The Brahmanas, they are always to remain poor. They are rich in spiritual life, but poor means they don't think anything is mine. Nothing is mine. So whatever comes, they simply use it for Krishna. Those who are kings, those who are Vaishyas, those who are Sudras, acting in those type of work, is more difficult. But the great kings, even though they are acting as Kshatriya, it's my kingdom, like Pratap Rudra, he said, this may be, I am the king. But ultimate proprietor is Jagannath. This is the pure consciousness. Yudhisthira, he may have been the king. So he has, king means he has to have some feeling of possession. This is my praja. I have to protect them. I have duty to royal kind of enjoyment. But great Rajarshi, like Yudhisthira, in spite of so much material facility, so much faithful citizen. You may have praja, but they may not be favorable. They may be rioting and going in revolution, or they may be very submissive and loving. All type of prajas are there. So Yudhisthira was such a proper king that all his prajas were very happy, very peaceful. They were very faithful. But in spite of that, Yudhisthira was not attached to his kingdom in a negative sense. He did his duty perfectly. But he did it always in loving devotion for Krishna. His love and affection, his attachment was for Krishna. Like this, whatever function we are in, if we hear these glories of the great devotees, which are spoken in Srimad Bhagavatam, naturally this clears away all this type of mud in the water of the consciousness, makes the consciousness clear, and fixes our devotion to Krishna. The Krishna remains in the heart, and whatever happens, we can remain fixed in that we have no other objective in life, no other purpose in life, no other attachment in life, but to please Krishna, to serve Krishna. Whatever happens in this material world, so many things are happening, but these things are not our actual connected to us. They are not our eternal relation. They are simply the changing situations. But actually our real goal in life is to please Krishna. So according to whatever situation we're in, these are simply different tests, different opportunities for us to serve Krishna in a changing, dramatic scene. So in this way, the devotees, they remain always fixed in Krishna, and therefore they are not disturbed by blessings or by curses of anybody, by criticisms or praise of anyone. In material life, if somebody is praised, he never forget for a long time, he remembers. If somebody is criticized, that word was very deep in the heart. They remember those criticisms for a long time. But in a spiritual life, the devotee, Krishna explains in Gita, he is the same in honor or dishonor. Because why? Because his objective is to please Krishna. What others are saying are not important, but what Krishna is pleased or not, that is what is important. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said we should clear the heart, chetodarpana marjanam. Here the Srimad Bhagavatam says, by hearing the Bhagavatam, by having the Lord come in the heart, through sound vibration. Sound incarnation is Srimad Bhagavatam, also sound incarnation is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. By hearing and chanting properly, then all these muds will be cleared from the heart. If we have any kind of mental suffering or mental imbalance or any anxiety, this is the solution to cleanse away all that impurity. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions?
For one chanting, we're making offerings in Amarat. So with real Amarat, we're doing against Krishna. But he forgives us.
Do you think if you study systematically and scientifically, what are the 10 offenses? Even the 10 offenses are, the first offense is to offend a Vaishnava, those loved ones in relation to Krishna. The Vaishnava is dedicated his life to serving Krishna, you're offending that Vaishnava. This is very displeasing to Krishna. If you're chanting Hare Krishna, but you think that Deva's name is equal or greater to Krishna's name, then what faith you're having in Krishna's name? That means sometimes you're saying Krishna, sometimes you're saying Bam Bam, sometimes you're saying Ma, sometimes this, sometimes that. So there's no steadiness in Krishna. So you're not going to get this shelter of Krishna. Sometimes you're calling this demigod, that deva, this devi, and this way. So it's not a singular devotion. So that type of chanting of Krishna's name is also not going to be fully useful, because you're chanting so many things. Then if you disobey the order of Guru, who's representing Krishna's name, so if you, this 10 offenses are, you see, dealing with how we are surrendering to Krishna, how we are actually dealing with those things related to the name, or how we are understanding of the name or misunderstanding the name, how we are, like the seventh offense, to sin on the strength of chanting, if we're trying to cheat the holy name, if we're inattentive, we are not putting our full faith in Krishna, we're keeping other attachments, even while after hearing so many instructions about it. All these things are not exactly the same that, say even one gets angry with Krishna. That is not directly mentioned as one of the 10 offenses to the holy name. It doesn't say that to be angry with Krishna. Of course, why we should be angry with Krishna? If we know that I've committed so many offenses, I've committed so many sins, that whatever happens actually, maybe I should have spent, I should have been, Prabhupada one time, he cut his finger. One drop of blood came. He said, actually, my head should have been cut. But instead, Krishna gave me one drop of blood he took. That I should have suffered so much for some previous karma, but Krishna just took out one drop. So like that, Krishna is very merciful, so why should the devotee get angry with Krishna? Even the 10 offenses are not directly offending Krishna. Of course, if we offend Krishna, we become envious to Krishna. That's either directly offensive. There's also a problem. But in even if you're offensive to Krishna, it says that if you chant the name of Krishna, that also will forgive us from the offenses. Even if we offend the deity of Krishna, if we chant Krishna's name, that also gets us cleansed. Even if we offend the holy name, the only way to get cured from that is one, chanting the holy name constantly. There's no other way. So even though Krishna, we offend Krishna, if we go to Krishna as a devotee, still he will eventually forgive us. So then why we should offend someone who is so loving, who is so kind to his devotee, even if we are offensive to him, and later we go and we are chanting his name, or he will forgive us very easily. But when someone is so merciful, even Putana came to kill Krishna, putting poison on her breast, but Krishna accepted her like a mother, because anyway, she gave her breast milk to Krishna, even if it was poison on the surface. So, but Krishna elevated her to Vaikuntha, to the spiritual world, as a mother. The little service Krishna gives blessing. Even Kamsa is so envious of Krishna, but at least he got liberation when Krishna freed his parents from that prison house and liberated Kamsa. So that Krishna is so kind, if you're directly related with Krishna, whether a demon or devotee, if you're fully concentrated, 100% absorbed, it's all good for you. But offensive of the holy name, if we're inattentive, we are partially chanting, partially offending,
this, then of course we may have to simply take some reaction for that. Point is to be fully connected with Krishna. And it's recommended we should be connected in a favorable way, not in an offensive way. But even if we commit some offense to Krishna, the Krishna will also forgive us for that offense. There's ways that he tells how we can be forgiven. It's not recommended we should go on offending Krishna. We should not offend Krishna. But even if we offend, we can get forgiven also by Krishna. When Krishna is so merciful, so kind, why do we should offend Krishna? We should be very careful to serve him nicely without any offense. Any other question? Many times I wanted to come up to Kathmandu. We're going to translate. In September, when I was attacked, the devotees here in Kathmandu were chanting for my health recovery. By the causeless mercy of Guru and Gauranga, the prayers of the Vaishnava, so my time in this body has been extended. All the doctors said that it's only by some grace of God that I could be alive. Even they said it was a miraculous recovery. But that time I was thinking how important time was, how we have to use time very carefully in Krishna's service.
Rakesh Samayam apani wale sadai vichar garnu gari rakhnu bhayo thiyo ki samay kati abhav cha, samay kati amulya cha, ra je jati samay cha sabai Krishna bhavana amrit ma lagaunu parne cha.
But find how time goes very quickly in devotional service. And always the devotees are asking me to come and to do different preaching programs in their area. Now that preaching is going very nicely around the world, before there were so many obstacles in communist country, now in Russia and all the Eastern European communist country, they're all having many temples and no more obstacles. Book distribution, Rath Yatras are going nicely all over the world. Here I hear in Kathmandu how Rath Yatra was pretty well organized this year. This is very pleasing to Prabhupada, these Rath Yatra festivals. It gives our devotees opportunity to serve the Lord in a very intimate way. You see, this strengthens us to be able to face any test which comes. There are some devotees who are very strong under pressure and heavy tests. They do very nicely. They take more shelter of Krishna. But then when the normal times come, sometimes they neglect to follow all the spiritual routines very carefully, the day-to-day sadhana. Then other kind of devotee, they are very good in all the regular programs. They follow very carefully the day-to-day sadhana. But when under very great pressure, they say, oh, no, that's too much. And they start to act or do things which are not proper. Best is that we should be fixed in Krishna in the intense period as well as in the day-to-day period, always. Pode sam, pode jivane morane, arpila tua pode nanda kishore. Always keeping our devotion offered to the lotus feet of Krishna in all circumstances. I know that in household life the many different tests come sent by Maya. But if one is able to keep on chanting and faithful to Krishna, this is very glorious. Even in the ashram life, there's also difficulties that come up, unexpected difficulties sometimes come. So long we're living in this material world, there's going to be difficulties and dangers. Remain faithful and in the shelter of Krishna, this is the real success. Because if during our life we always remain dependent on Krishna, then naturally at the end of life we will remain dependent on Krishna and we can return to Krishna's eternal service. You never know when the end of life is going to come. Right? One of my disciples, he was a nice brahmachari serving in the Gurukul in temple. But his mother said, no, now you should work for the family because you do chanting when you're old. Unfortunately, that mother was not encouraging the boy to chant in the house, so he gradually reduced in his spiritual activities. He got a job outside, but then he was riding his bicycle during the night, and during the riots in Nepal, he got shot in the head by police bullets. So, grihe tako, bone tako, sadahare bole dako. Whatever ashram we're in, we should go on chanting Hare Krishna without stopping, never stop. And I'm very glad that to hear you're all chanting, and even Karan Krishna Das said he's very enthused by your chanting. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Incident in which someone tried to cut your throat. What happened to the culprit? Was he punished? Given due punishment.
Cut the throat, he cut it. But he's still
there. I've not known it in detail.
You didn't translate it to Nepali?
At that time we did say something, but not very much in detail like you have said. No. But why don't you say, Maharaj, that it would have been some of your past lives? Karma also. Why only due to devotees of this life? No. It could have been some 500 birds I had.
Previous life also, Maharaj.
Maybe. Who can say? Both could be there. Although maybe already the previous life karmas are worked off through devotional service. But maybe also there.
Our devotee Jyoti Rupa is looking after the downtown center, doing aarti morning and evening. He is also very much involved in publishing the Sankirtan Samachar, and he has been quite active in this Rath Yatra. We are all involved in this case, and he was out, getting funds from different businessmen, different people, and he has done very successfully. He has written a poem which he wants to present to you.
Poem?
Yes.
It's a poet also. Srila Acharya Pade Padaka Swami Guru Maharaj Ki
Jai.
Amina Mako Tahuwara Srila Acharya Pade Guru Maharaj Ko Susastya Kirai Jirai Ko Kamuna Vipta Kada Chum.
So on behalf of the Namaka devotees, he wishes a long, happy, healthy life to you.
All glory to Srila Acharya Pade Padaka Swami Guru Maharaj. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. All glory to Srila Vishnu Maharaj. All glory to Srila Vishnu Maharaj. All glory to Guru and Gauranga. All glory to Mayapur Chandrodaya Mandir. All glory to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glory to Lord Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. All glory, glory to Nepal ISKCON Radha Krishna Temple. All glory to all Vaishnava Acharyas. All glory to all Vaishnavas. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapadaka Swami Ti Namine. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Ti Namine. Damanda Bhamite Bhamite Kono Bhagyavani Diva Guru Kripa Hai Bhakti Lata Bij Sachar Dharitvena Samasta Sastra Yukta Sada Vabdata Eva Sarvi Kintu Prabhurya Priyev Tasya Bande Guru Sri Charanar Vindam Yesya Prasadahad Bhagavat Prasado Yesya Prasadana Gati Kuto Api Jaya Vishnu Vanantasya Yesya Tishandam Bande Guru Sri Charanar Vindam चौरासी योनि ब्रह्मांड मां भवतारी रहे थऊ अधम हामी विषय कामना सुख को ब्रह्मा दुमी रहे थऊ अधम हामी राग देश को आगमा जरी रहे थऊ अधम हामी
एउटा एउटा लाइन भन्नुस् म ट्रान्सलेसन गर्दै जान्छु
चौरासी योनि ब्रह्मांड मां भवतारी रहे थऊ अधम हामी
सो वी आर ट्रेवलिंग इन डिफरेंट लाइफ्स इन डिफरेंट बॉडीज इन दिस 84 लाख स्पीशीज
विषय कामना सुख को ब्रह्म दुरी रहे थे अधम हमी
एंड वर इन ग्राउंड इन दिस
राग देश को आगो में जगी रहे थे अधम हमी चार वेद गाउँछन् गुरुकै स्तुति दयानिधि हरिकै स्वरूप भनेर हजुरलाई श्री गुरु करुणा सिन्धु अधम जनार बन्धु अपार दया सिन्धु हे कृपा सिन्धु दिव्य ज्ञानद्वारा देव भक्ति चरण पदको जन्म जन्म हामीलाई प्रेम भक्ति निष्काम सेवा गरेको छैन केही अर्पण चरण पद्मलाई श्री गुरु चरण पद्म भगवत प्रसाद नयाँ भव सिन्धुको हाम्रो प्राणलाई खाली हात बिन्ती गरेर लिएको जन्म छैन केही एक शिर हजुरको चरण पद्मलाई श्री गुरु करुणा सिन्धु हरिनाम दूत महाप्रभुको महामन्त्र संकीर्तन हजुरलाई केशर चन्दन धूप आरती वैजन्ती माला तुलसी चामर मयूर पंखको आरती प्रेमावतारलाई घण्टा झाँझर करताल मृदङ्ग शङ्खको मङ्गल ध्वनि श्री राधा कृष्णलाई जय 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 हरिनाम वन्दे गुरु श्री चरणारविन्द शील आचार्य जय पताका गुरु महाराजलाई जय 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 अभय चरणारविन्द वन्दे गुरु श्री चरणारविन्द जय 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 दीर्घायु सुस्वास्थ्य आरोग्यको पुष्पाञ्जली वन्दे गुरु श्री चरणारविन्द सम्पूर्ण नाम हातको तर्फबाट ज्योतिरूप गोविन्द दास
हरि भयो हरि भयो।